Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Automotive Axles Limited 2Q FY25 post-results earnings conference call hosted by Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shailesh Raja from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Neha. Good afternoon, and thanks to everyone who have logged in to Automotive Axles 2Q FY25 earnings conference call. So let me introduce you, the management participating with us in today's earnings call. We have with us Mr. Nagaraja, President and Whole-Time Director of Automotive Axles, Mr. Ranganathan S., CFO of Automotive Axles, and Mr. Kishan Kumar, GM Meritor India. I would now like to turn the call to Mr. Nagaraja for the opening remarks following the Q&A. Sir, you may begin now.
Thank you, Shailesh. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Nagaraja Gargeshwari, President and Whole-Time Director of Automotive Axles Limited. I warmly welcome all of our investors and shareholders to this investor call, Q2 financial year 2024 and 2025. I hope you had a great Diwali along with your family and friends. On this call, this time also, I have with me our CFO, Mr. S. Ranganathan, and welcome, Ranga. We also have Mr. Kishan Udupi, who is the President and the Whole-Time Director of Meritor HVS India Private Limited. As you are aware, last week we concluded our board meeting and updated the board on the company's second quarter performance. A couple of highlights here I would like to share with you. As you are aware, the market still looks a little bit soft, and in spite of that, we were able to continue to execute on optimizing our operational cost and thereby achieving a very strong performance. This will be discussed by Ranga later on. And also, as we mentioned in the previous quarter, we introduced our new axle MS185 to Ashok Leyland, and not only did we start the SOP, but we were also able to ramp up the production very well. And from the investment perspective, we continue to upgrade our plants with new machines and automations. With that, now I would request Kishan to give a market update, followed by financial results review by Ranga. Thanks again for calling into this meeting. Over to you, Kishan.
Right. Thank you, Nagaraja. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So good afternoon and welcome again. So a quick update on the M&HCV market, 7.5-ton and above, where we play a major role. Like Nagaraja mentioned, we continue seeing softening of market from Q1 into Q2 as well. Most of this was expected to some extent after the general elections and the monsoon. And the recent few days have shown some uptick in the retail sales, which is a positive trend. And also, we have seen the OEMs being very moderate about their inventory and not carrying much, which means from starting now onward, we should see Q3 as well as Q4 being much stronger like the last year. Having said that, we also have been following there is not much of a significant change or market share shift among the major OEMs that we serve. So in all likelihood, we should end up Q3 and then around 90,000-95,000. That is our current forecast. And Q4 will be like last year at a higher note, around 100,000+. This will still be a dip compared to last year, about 5%, which is expected after we see in every time there is an election and we see that infra spend and other things having a say on that. So that's a quick update on the market, and of course, we can take more questions during the question and answer. session, and over to you, Ranga Vithai. Thank you.
Yeah, very good morning to all of you. I'm Ranganathan here. I just give a quick update on the financial performance for the quarter. So for the quarter, we have done a complete, just crossed over 500 crores sales as compared to last year same quarter is about, we are 15% down in terms of overall revenue. Last year same quarter we did about 588 crores. And EBITDA, by and large, you look at it, we are at 11.4 versus 11.9. Though the drop of sale is about 15%, the drop in the EBITDA is lower. However, it's not as low as the drop in the sales. That's mainly due to the better operating performance and metal cost performance during this quarter. And PBIT stands at 9.7 compared to 10.3 same quarter last year. And YTD, that is the first 6 months performance is concerned, we are close to about 1,000 crores sales for the first 6 months compared to 1,122 crores the first 6 months of last year, is about 11% down. And EBITDA is about 11.6 for the first 6 months, and as compared to 11.2 last year, the overall, if really look at it, the PBIT is 9.7% first 6 months against 10.3 the last year, the first 6 months. So the, largely, if you see the impact on the EBITDA, largely because of the fixed cost under absorption more than anything else. The operating performance for the first three, this quarter and overall for the first 6 months is comparatively much better as compared to the last year. So it's a larger update on the financial performance. Is there any questions? We can take it up during the question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sunil Kothari from Unique PMS. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir, for the opportunity. Mr. Nagaraj is here on the call, and Mr. Altium Director from Meritor HVC is also there. I would like to understand, sir, from you, being a long-term investor of Automotive XL, the thought process and strategic thinking about the automotive, this American XL India's CV business, XL sales, which has been done and bought over by Bharat Tools. So how we consider those act or not, and strategically, what was the reason or what are the reasons we should not go behind those type of deal? That will be really helpful if you can little elaborate on this.
Narad, you take it or take it?
Yeah, you take it, Ranga.
Very good afternoon, Sunil Kothari. How are you doing, sir? By and large, we did not participate on the bid because the bid was not offered to us at the very beginning. So at this moment of time, we don't have much details about that, except other than what is available in the public. So time being, we are not commenting on this takeover until we get some more details on this. At this moment of time, that's the only answer we have, sir.
Because, sir, that company has grown just during this 2 years almost by 50%, where almost any auto component industry, including us, they're not able to grow. They've grown that particular business from 900 crore to 1400 crore business. And so that's why, and you being in industry, I'm sure you'll be looking out for? I'm listening and calling you since last 4-5 years. We are trying very hard to get Tata's for extended business, but why we miss? I would like to convey that we missed this opportunity. But yeah, it's your thought process and your strategy.
I give my view. As I mentioned, that I don't have much details about this takeover. What the considerations? It's been considered to bid and take this offer because we don't know the details, but. We have been talking about last about 6-7 years. Our focus is basically on medium and heavy commercial vehicles. We'll continue to focus on it. The industry, what we are serving, and we are definitely, we are the leaders, and we are the largest independent axle manufacturers in India. We continue to hold that position for the segment what we serve. And we don't have the details of the American axles, what are the details. You may have bits and pieces, we know the information, but it's not very appropriate to comment on it. But that's the reason I said that initially, that without having much details, we don't want to comment at this moment of time. So as we get along the more detailed information, we can able to see that what it might be, what is not making value to somebody, it may be making value to somebody else. So at this moment of time, again, I'm reinstating Kishan or Nagaraj can add value that the industry, what we are focusing, we continue to focus on it. We continue to focus on new product development. We'll continue to excite the customers with our new products and our performance. Definitely, for an outsider, it may be a value add, but I'm not sure about, as you said, that since we not participate in the bidding, we have no details about the takeover and other information at this moment of time. But definitely, we will be the largest axle manufacturers as we see it, and we'll continue to be leaders in the coming days too. I don't think we're going to do less or more. Definitely, we'll do more, but not less, and we'll continue to maintain our leadership.
Sir, okay, this is just last question, or maybe some other listeners. This company has been taken over by our one of major partners, promoter Bharat Forge. So no information available, no detail available. I think this will create a little bit issue on the corporate governance side also. So I request you to just give a thought on the point that when our majority partner is taking over this entity, will it not be wrong on somebody's side that it will create a competitive intensity, maybe more? They are a part of the automotive axle group and now they are taking it over. So will it enhance competition? Will it affect our capability with the customer? I think whenever something happens in industry where the only 2-3 players are there, I think normally managements are aware about everything. They are aware about your competitive capability and your products and customer. And I'm sure you must be in this industry since long. So you must be aware about their positioning. I'm really surprised by this non-awareness of the deal and capabilities and products and all these things. Really, this is surprising for me. If you would like to, Mr. Nagaraj, want to comment on this, will be really helpful.
A couple of things here is, again, obviously, we are not part of the bidding for this company, like what Ranga mentioned. We don't have all the details. There is just an announcement has come, but this transaction is not complete. It goes through all the legal proceedings, say, including anti-competition and everything. So that's why we said that it is probably premature at this point of time to make any comments on this. Once we have all the details, we'll be able to answer your questions.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sagar Parikh from Vana Financial Consultant Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, sir. I actually just mirror Mr. Kothari's thoughts here that, Bharat Forge being a partner with us and they acquiring this company on their own. I just want to understand the thought process and what are your thoughts on this going forward. And yeah, I just mirror his thoughts basically. That's all I wanted to understand from you.
No, sir, I fully respect your views here as an outsider. As Nagaraj is very, and we don't have much details about the takeover. So we only had this announcement. What you had this year, whatever you heard, we also heard as individually. We may have our opinion and feedbacks about this, but officially, before we need to come in, we need to have some proper information before we commenting on it. So at this moment of time, it's only an announcement made by Bharatwaj. So once probably all approvals are done and we get to know more details, probably we can able to give answers to some of your questions. At this moment of time, you know, with limited information, we don't want to guess and do something wrong. And so we consciously saying that, you know, we don't have full information and we are not able to comment on it. That's only limitation we are trying to put forward to you. I hope you'll understand it.
Yeah, so
just to add to what Ranga mentioned, see, we have, you know, two equal promoters or partners. One is BFL, another one is, you know, Cummins. Okay, Cummins is also in automotive. So as far as the governance is concerned, you can be very, very sure of that, you know, everything will be, you know, done as per the legal requirement. Again, I want to reiterate it. This is just an announcement has come. It is not, the transaction is not complete until we have all the details. You know, it is going to be premature for us, and also not right on our part to make some assumption and make speculation regarding this particular, takeover.
So just one color, like since it's an unlisted entity, so we are largely present in the 7 tons or 7.5 tons and above segment. How big would that segment be for American Axles? Because I understand they would also be on the NCV side. So any sort of color on their business breakup broadly would also help us. Thanks.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have, because only thing what we know is that their major customer is Daimler. That is the one thing which is available in the public. But otherwise, you know, we don't know some of our competitors. We know what is our share of business, but we will not be able to know our competitors' share of business. Because there are captive axles are there, and then also people are supplying, like we also have Dana, and then we also have Tata, Eicher. They are doing their own axles. So it's a little bit challenging for us to, you know what their share of business would be.
What would be our share of business in Ashok Leyland?
Kishan, you can answer that.
Yeah, sure. So our current share is around 63% to 65%, depending on the product mix. But typically you can say, yeah, 60% to 65%. Typically that is where we range. And with the new products that we are planning to launch in a couple of months, we should be, it'll be 65% plus. That is what we are aiming for.
So this new product launch, that is this MS-180 is what you're saying, or something else?
185 and bus axle, which is coming up early next year. And then also 177, which we are planning. So with all that, it will be a north of 65%.
Sorry, 177, 185, and the third one you said is?
The bus axle, which we have talked in the last investors call as well. There is a bus axle that we are working on, which is expected to launch sometime mid of next year.
Understood. Okay, that's it from my side, and looking forward actually to hear more on this American Axle deal, maybe in the next, or once you have more details. That would be really helpful.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nataraj Shankar from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, just wanted to understand on the bus business plan over the next 2 to 3 years. We had spoken in detail about in the last quarter, so just wanted to understand in terms of timelines when it will start and what is the plan over the next 2 to 3 years? And I kind of had a similar question. I guess you answered it. What percentage of the business between American Axles and Automotive Axle is there overlap? But I guess you clarified that you don't have that information. But at some point in time, that will be helpful. Thanks. But if you could just answer the bus part, that will be great. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, the line was not very clear, but what I heard is the business plan for the next 3 years. Is that right?
No.
He is asking for the bus axle, when it gets launched, and what is the outlook for the next 2 to 3 years' time for the bus axles.
Okay, okay, got it. So, thanks, Ranga. So, in the bus space, we have different categories of buses, 9-meter, 12-meter, and then the 13.5 and 15-meter coaches. Today, where we are present is only in the 12-meter. So, we have our flagship product, 1497 and 59, which we supply to Ashok Leyland 100%. Now, where we are not present is where Dana, our other competition, is actually supplying. So, that is a 9-meter bus. So, our new product that we are launching sometime in second quarter of next year, and also the 177, which is in very early stage of discussion for 13.5 and 15-meter coach, we see that, the deficit of bus, which had after the COVID, it is now taking up. So, these the 9-meter and 12-meter will be more and more in the STUs and also in the public sector. So we see with that our overall impact due to the product mix, which we see otherwise, like this year and the previous year, that will come down because we'll be able to play where that 2-3% will otherwise make an impact. So in terms of overall market or the penetration into Ashok Leyland, we will probably 2-3% more than what we are today because of these two products introduction. Otherwise, the market itself is pretty small in India for the coaches. When I say coaches, it is a 13.5 meters. Typically, we see Volvo, where anyway it is our product imported from Europe. So the global, the domestic players are now getting into this segment.
Okay, and on the just on that 65% market share in Ashok Leyland that you have, keeping aside the captive part of the axle sourcing from internally either Ashok Leyland Tata Motors, will American Express axle be another competitor for us at all, or
I'm sure you have access to their I think somebody had a comment on this in the beginning, how they have grown, and I have not seen the reports in particular, but as we understand, their major share of business comes from Daimler, which is a contract manufacturing, and which is 100% only for Daimler. So other than that, we are not aware of any other product.
Understood.
Which they will be competing with us. And we have a full range of products that we have a pipeline of introduction.
Understood. And lastly, just a bookkeeping question. Can you just guide us to over the next 2 to 3 year CAPEX?
Could you please repeat that?
Over the next 2 to 3 years, can you just guide us through the CAPEX plan?
Yeah, as you are aware, last time itself we mentioned that, apart from our typical sustenance CAPEX, the board has approved about 70 crores. Once we complete it, that invest part of the investment probably by end of next calendar year. So then we'll be going for phase two and phase three. Again, we are kind of looking at, like what Kishan mentioned, this year and next year, we are kind of looking at a flat market. So we would like to make sure that we time the investment properly. Our expectation is, we should be investing close to about 200 crores in next 2 to 3 years' time.
Thanks. That's very helpful. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, hi, sir. Sir, will you be able to guide in terms of, the top line and EBITDA margins for FY25 and if possible for the next year as well? And some of the key developments the company is working on, which will drive growth for us in the coming years.
See, this, like this, as Kishan was talking in the beginning, the market for this year looks to be flat, okay? And at this moment up in the forecast, what we have is next 2 quarters, the volume should be the similar lines of the first half year. But could be possible, then 5-10% upside can be quite possible. It purely depends on two things, and how the market and how the inventory at the OEMs. We are expecting another 10% more than the first half year. In the second half, we have to wait and watch. And overall market, if you look at it, is continued to be just loitering below 400,000 vehicle level, with 395 or around that level it is there. So it's lower than the last year. But we have to wait and watch. So if you see our performance on the EBITDA is concerned, we are very, very our EBITDA performance is quite consistent with respect to volume what we generate. As you really see, the operating level margin is substantially improved compared to last year, mainly on our focus, continued focus last 6 years on the metal cost performance is yielding that benefit. Only what we are a little suffocating at this moment of time is basically the fixed cost absorption. So as I said that, you know, we continue, if the market at the same level, you can see the same level of performance of EBITDA in the next 6 months. If the market improves, as we are expecting another additional 10% to 12% this the second half of the year, our EBITDA improvement will be much, much, much higher than that. So definitely that absorption benefit will come into the picture. So that will definitely make us a little better EBITDA as compared to what we achieved in the first 6 months. So that's how I would like to present the case. So in the even in the moderate performance, we are upholding our operating performance highest level. As Nagaraj was talking about the investments is basically meant to automate and debottleneck the issues in the production and on towards the suit the investment to the new products and so on and so forth. So basically, the manufacturing automation is the main focus, which is resulting in an operating efficiency and will continue to improve the operating performance. As the market grows, we'll be able to get much better benefits into the overall EBITDA.
So what was our volume in H1?
H1, I just said in the beginning of the call that we did about close to 1,000 crores. And so we are expecting the similar volumes. I said that could be an upside, but plus 10% more, that could be possible. That depends on, again, how the market and the inventory, what the OEM has.
Okay. So the next 2 quarters we expect it to be flat. But what about FY26? Do you see recovery then?
We are expecting conservatively a flat, but always 10% upside is quite possible. That we have to wait and watch.
All right. Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Radha. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question was that in this quarter, if you see the overall MHCV goods carrier volumes, so the industry volumes fell by 13% and a similar number for our key customer Ashok Leyland, it fell by 22%. And adjusting for, if you adjust the sales number that we have reported in second quarter with the lower raw material costs like you have mentioned in your opening remarks, then estimated volumes for automotive axles have fallen only by 12%. So which is lower compared to the fall in industry or the fall that we have seen in Ashok Leyland. So just wanted to know what led to this outperformance compared to the industry and also with respect to Ashok Leyland.
Maybe I'll give a little bit of overall of my, what I know, then probably I'll leave the question about giving more details, what you best know from a customer perspective. See, overall, if you look at it, madam, is, you know, Ashok Leyland is into LCVs, MHCV in all segments they have. So the overall performance, basically, if you look at it, I'm not sure. I've not looked at the data, but if you look to the all composite, you may be saying it. And second is about this quarter, we had some better benefits coming from sales to aftermarket, in, which was probably one of the last quarter's backlog, and we completed this quarter. And also some upsides on the brake side for TML.
Sir, is this aftermarketing a one-off in this quarter, and or do we plan to see an increase in aftermarket?
That's the backlog of last quarter, and which probably we completed this quarter. Yeah.
So out of overall sales on a yearly basis, what percentage of sales is from aftermarket?
I know, generally we don't share the percentage, but it's close to double digit.
Okay. The second question will start in March 2022. So we had announced a mission, which mission 2025. So in that, four key growth levers were discussed. So one was exports. So just wanted to know from the exports perspective, currently how much is exports and how is that, how has that increased compared to FY22 levels?
But FY22.
Yes, sir.
I need to really see what FY22, but FY22, you're talking about 21-22 or 22-23?
21-22.
Okay, I need to really check the data, but I don't have readily, I'm unable to comment on 21-22 to current, but nevertheless, compared to 21-22, definitely our export performance would have definitely gone much better as of now. Definitely it's my gut at this moment of time, but exactly the quantification, I don't have it before me to comment on it. And secondly, the export segment, again, as I mentioned, that we don't give the segmentation, but you can take it, it's also close to the double digit, that is also. And definitely, as I mentioned, that the marginal increase in exports and good increase the backlog of orders of aftermarket of last quarter definitely has benefited us this quarter.
So exports 3 years back also we had two customers. One is Meritor Group, and second was the Volvo Thailand. So apart from this, in the last 3 years, have we added any customers? And if not, then when do you expect to add new customers in the export market?
Vishen, would you able to take it?
Yeah, sure. So when we talk about export, it is also the intra-company export that we do. So what Ranga touched on, what you mentioned, is the OEMs that we export. And regionally, the regional business units will be the end of sale point. That is how it is being, except for the two cases where we do it directly. And going forward also, our focus is the intra-company export, where all the new investment what we are doing to bring the systems to the upgraded versions, and also all the business that we are working with other regions like Europe and North America. That is all intra-company. And your question earlier on the growth, I just pulled out some number, which may not be very accurate, but we have grown about 25% compared to 21-22 to the current year. And all the new products also, what we are now working on, we are bringing them to the global standard. For example, 177, 185, these are global products which are already manufactured somewhere else. So now introducing them in India gives us that advantage to also export to our intra-company elsewhere in the world.
Okay, sir. So why are we also focusing on... Yes, sir.
Sorry?
I wanted to understand, why aren't we also focusing on adding new customers in the export market?
Because the products are very unique in those regions. So what we are talking about is only the drive head. But rest of the architecture is very unique for India. Just like, for example, in Europe, it is all cast housing. And in India, we don't have cast housing other than the heavy-duty hub reduction. So the uniqueness of the end product that goes into the OEM vehicle requires a different way of architecture, which is the regional business units do. So what we can supply from here is only the drive back, which is our primary focus now, and the component.
Understood. So continuing with this question of the mission 2025, so second key target of the mission was that that we will be entering into LCV and bus segment. So presently, as per also our previous conversations, so we are not present in the LCV segment, and bus also just in one product we are mentioning. We are present. So, sir, wanted to understand that this vision was set a few years back, but still we are not very largely present in these segments. So, why has this taken so long to scale up, and how do you see it pan out from here on?
Kishan?
Yeah, I missed that. I heard LCV, but I was not sure whether you were talking about LCV.
Yes, so the LCV segment, in our mission 2025, like we have stated 3 years back, there one of the key growth drivers was also entry into LCV and bus segment. However, we have not entered into the segment significantly. So, just wanted to understand why has it taken so long to scale up this business, and how do you see it pan out from here on?
Right. So, when we talk about LCV, we are still talking about the 7.5 ton and above. We have had no intentions to go below that. So, all our axles, the smallest axle that we have is also in the 7.5 ton GVW, which we have a good, share of business with Mahindra and Ashok Leyland. Beyond that, we do not have any plan to go below the 7.5 ton, and neither we had in the past. Now, coming to the bus, as I explained earlier, there are clear paths, and our core competency is actually in the 7.5 ton and above. There is no need for us globally also to look below that, which is a totally a different ballgame altogether, and we have been never in that space. So, for that, those two reasons, our focus will be the 7.5 ton core, where we already have products in production. The volumes are slightly lower compared to the lower end, but then the bus is where we are riding for, and also the ICV. So the new brake that we launched, the 390 core, that is a very sweet spot in the ICV segment, which we were not present in the earlier. So our focus has been always this 7.5 ton and above, and to be strengthening our product in the ICV segment. And that is what we have been working in the last 2-3 years.
Sir, my question was
Yeah, just add to what Kishan mentioned. If I understand, your question is why it is taking so much of time. Again, in the last 3 years, when the BS6, when we moved from BS4 to BS6, we had to really upgrade all our current products. That way, we did mention in our previous investor calls, we have probably launched about 4 to 5 new products in the high volume segment, especially for our M&HCV segment, which is really helping us to, meet and, keep our share of business with all the critical suppliers. So, bus axle was a little bit reprioritized, I would say, and that's why, now that we have done with all our major high volume products, the focus is coming on the bus axle. So, we didn't slack off. Only thing is, we kind of reprioritized in last 3 years based on the market conditions and, the statutory and legal requirements.
Sir, my question. Yes, sir. Just a bit more clarification. So my question was in the 7.5 to 14 ton category only. So previously we were in focusing more on greater than 16 ton category, and then we had mentioned that we will enter in this 16 ton category also. So my question was that in this category specifically, that we have not significantly scaled up in this segment. So and you also mentioned something about Mahindra share of business. I just request you to repeat that, I have missed that part. So, why has it taken time in this
particular one? So, maybe Kishan, I will just add a couple of comments and then maybe you can further explain. So, we do have three products in this 7 to 14 ton segment. Like what Kishan mentioned, our smallest axle, which we supply to Ashok Leyland, that has grown in volumes over the last 3 years. Apart from that, we also have 11X product and also the 120 product. So it is not that we don't have the, products there. And some of these products have been, kind of launched in or upgraded in last 3 to 5 years. So again, that particular volume is, you know, a bit a challenging one, and the volumes are also kind of probably Kishan can comment on that. So whatever the possible share of business, we have got the share of business there, and also penetrating into, you know, some of the new products which Mahindra has introduced, you know, we are on that. And also, you know, some of these products are also being exported by the OEMs out of India. So we do, in a way, indirectly we are exporting some of these products.
Yeah, Nagaraj, just to add to that, there is also a significant shift in the market. Now, as you see, the higher tonnage vehicles and the high value that our axles, you know, provide, that has also been the shift in the market. So we are aligning our strategy along with that. Like all the new products that we are launching is in the heavy duty, medium heavy duty segment, which is where we are seeing the volumes. The 8x2s, 10x2s, even the 4x2 tractor, where the axle, probably the 185 is the largest axle we have in India, and that is the value we are bringing. And that is also where we can realize more, you know, penetration. Like, for example, Ashok Leyland, Mahindra, these are all the non-captive OEMs where we are almost present 90-100% in these new segments, what we are launching.
All right. So my question, I'll continue with the second question, which will be a continuing of this question only. So broadly, if we take the industry MHCV goods carrier numbers for first half FY25, so the average monthly production has fallen in the 25 to 34 ton and 46 to 55 ton vehicles in 1H FY25 if you compare that number to FY24. And where we see the production increasing is the 16 to 25 ton and 25 to 49 ton. So hence my question was in light to this that if the industry is shifting more towards lower tonnage vehicles, then have we been slower in launching products in these segments? And if you could just highlight what is our wallet share in the segments 16 to 25, 25 to 49, where we are seeing higher production currently by the industry.
Your line was not very clear, but I understood you are saying 15 to 18 ton is where the highest volume is picking as per you from the production data, and then you mentioned some other number, 49 ton is what I heard. That is probably what I was telling earlier. So the shift is very clearly, and you are probably looking at only the last 1, 2, 3 quarters, but what we are seeing is the high tonnage, the 43 ton and above, that will be the one where the highest number of vehicles will be sold, including the tractor trailers. And coming to the 15 to 18, we already have 3 products in that space, which is in production for a long time. And they are catering to most of the applications that we currently do with any of the OEMs.
So basically wanted to understand if CV market falls, let's say for example 20%, how much fall can we expect for automotive axles? Can we limit the downside to 10% for us as compared to 20% for the industry?
That's a very, very tough question. But what we have done over the years, I think you probably can witness that, is when the market is growing at a certain X percentage, we have always grown, you know, more than that. That is by, you know, expanding our, you know, product portfolio, increase in the share of business with our existing customers. And also we are being present in all some of the new EV OEMs or startups that are coming in. And our export business in the last 3 years, it has grown. Of course, this year, you know, all the European and North America markets are a little bit, you know, soft. That's why, you know, we are kind of a flat. But that is the area we are kind of looking at, you know, how do we continue to, you know, be competitive with, you know, some of the export opportunities to our own intra-company, so that we can limit the this cyclical effect of, you know, the market volumes impact both on our top line and bottom line. And as we have demonstrated, in spite of a top line decrease, we have still be able to hold on to, you know, our EBITDA margins. So we continue to work on that. Our expectation is as we invest more into our manufacturing plant and then launch some of these critical axles like bus axles, we should be able to minimize the impact. I cannot tell you whether it's going to be, you know, less than 10% or more than 10%, but we will try to make it as minimum as possible in spite of, you know, adverse market conditions.
So can we say it in this way that now we have a lot of growth levers like aftermarket that you mentioned, why we have outperformed in this quarter. So aftermarket, exports, new products, new segments. So is it a fair understanding that if there is a CV down cycle, then our performance will be much better compared to the historical performance in a down cycle?
We will be definitely try our level best to be better than our peers. But again, it's very difficult to kind of dimension it because there are different product segment and, you know, different OE shares, how it gets affected. But like I said, you know, spreading our, you know, product portfolio and then share of business with all these, you know, opportunities, exports, aftermarket, and also new potential OEs, we will be minimizing it. And I think, you know, we have demonstrated time and again, you know, last several years, you know, we always kind of outperformed our peers. So we'll continue to do that.
All right, sir. Thanks and all the best. I'll come back to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ankur Shah from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So could you guide us just a ballpark number, what kind of revenue growth we're seeing in the next 3 years with the industry growth and sustainable EBITDA margins going ahead?
So I know generally we don't paint a picture of the EBITDA, but definitely you see the track today. You really see the highest volume we done in terms of number of vehicles is about 18-19. Today, if really look at it, we are much lower than the next 12 months forecast. The market is continued to be under 400,000 vehicle level, so we don't expect much of a growth in the next year too. And beyond that, you know, we are expecting the market might grow. But we have to wait and watch. As he said, that as the market grows, our growth will be better than the market, for sure. And EBITDA, if the market touches the volume of 18-19, which like unlikely to my opinion, because the configuration of the vehicle, the market segment is completely changed in the sense that, you know, the type of vehicle what we are in 18-19, which is currently happening, is quite different. But nevertheless, if there's an overall improvement in terms of the vehicle level, definitely we grow, our growth rate will be better than the market, point number one. Our operating performance, if we look at it 18-19 to current, is about we are much in a better position with the new improvements what we have done in the shop floor, and our overall operating performance is much higher. And definitely we can, with the market grows, we can expect as a growth, we'll definitely leverage benefit will come pretty hugely. Our profitability is already is growing year on year. But overall, if you look at the next 3 years outlook, Kishan can say that, but overall, more or less, you know, even if it touches 450,000 vehicle level, I think our EBITDA will be at least, 20% better than, or 25% better than what we are doing.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Muskan Dastogi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So in the previous con call, you had mentioned that brakes are around 10 to 15% of overall volumes for the company. And the company has launched two new models in brakes as well as they see more opportunity in the exports market. So in the light of this, please tell us where do you see 10-15% numbers in the next 3 years? And do you plan to increase the brakes mix to 20% plus?
Kishan, would you take it?
Yeah. So the first part of the question was on the growth, what you're talking about. And like you, I think the question. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, break project.
Yeah. So if you, I think in the previous call, we talked about Mission 25 or Mission 28. So similarly, that is when it is for the operation, we also have a product roadmap or technology roadmap for the products. And in the breaks with the launch of 394, we are already seeing the market, which was not available to us earlier. We are seeing that we can easily increase our market share in the breaks by 2%-3%. So our ambition is to come closer to 35%, 38% as an overall market share in this segment where we play, which is the medium and heavy duty. There are a few more breaks that we are looking at more specifically for EVs. Where today, if you see, EV is still in the bus space, right? It is still growing in the buses. And the brake that we are supplying is a regular brake, foundation brake. But there are opportunities to make modification or improvement in that segment that we are already working globally as well as in India. So with that also in the place for the next 3 to 5 years when the bus market, electric bus market grows, we believe we can take our overall market share in brakes to about 35%, 35%-40% even.
Oh, okay, sir. Thank you. So my next question is, in the last 3-4 years, we have been able to grow market share in brakes from 30%-35% to 40% now. Can you please talk about the challenges we face in terms of getting new business and how do we address them? And what gives us the confidence to take this to 50% in coming years?
Sure. I can probably tell you that, you know, right, that the only other competition for us in India is Brakes India. And they are a brakes company. But we are as a full product solution provider. So brakes, while we are only talking about the drum brake, in the drum brake space on the M&HCV series side, we have already segmented them to cater to almost all the applications where Brakes India is present. Now, always the challenge, probably for Brakes India as well, is the friction is always controlled by the OEM here, which means our application of the product is a little bit limited. It is not, in other words, it is not our standalone recommendation, but it is always jointly with the OEM. And OEMs always have a dual policy. They always have a dual policy when it comes to any product and specifically brake because there are two players here. What differentiation we can bring is our global knowledge. Like I gave an example of the brake specifically for EV. So we have done a lot of data gathering globally where we understand the EVs operate differently because of the architecture and the regenerative capabilities of the motor. So now we are mapping that back to brakes and making them more optimized, which means that within the operating space, within the M&HCV and the bus space, we can bring up more efficient and more value-adding products, which I wouldn't say Brakes India will not be able to do it, but because we have this global connect, maybe our opportunities there are better. Challenge is always that the highest contributor to the BOM cost is the friction. So that is always in India with the OEM. So that will always be a limiting factor for us.
Oh, okay, sir. So could you please talk about the business opportunity in differential gears and currently where are Mahindra and Tata sourcing the gears they are housing from?
Agarwal, you want to take that?
Yeah. You know, I think, you know, again, I do not understand what you mean by differential gears. Most of the differential gears, if you are talking about, you know, side gears and the diff pinions, which are all the smaller gears, usually it is always outsourced with the precision forging companies. So I think they should be, you know, getting from the same supplier as ours. But as far as if you are talking about crown wheel and pinion, we always, most of the people, you know, they buy this crown wheel and pinion. They don't buy it. We do, at least from the automotive axles perspective, we manufacture it in-house because that's where our IP is. That's where we can, we do the value addition. So I believe maybe our competitors are also most of them they probably do in-house.
Oh, okay, sir. That was helpful. So in terms of ROCE, what is the delta between ROCE from Axis business versus brakes? And what is the capex cost per unit for axle and brake if someone is creating a fresh capacity?
That's the last one is very difficult because it depends on what kind of technology you are going to bring in, and definitely it will be very, very expensive. I would say that because it requires quite a bit of capex, and that's also act as a high entry barrier for the new entrants. So
our technology, I mean, like with from our technology, what would be the capex cost per unit for axle and brake?
Maybe Ranga, you should talk about it because I think we have invested over the 40 years, so it is we don't have a one single ballpark number to say what should be the capex. So I think probably that's where I would stop. Like I say, just upgrading and then doing an automation, next 3 to 5 years, that's what we are telling. We are just investing 200 crores just for upgrading our existing lines.
Between axles and brakes, the majority of investment happens in axles for sure. And definitely we are also focusing on, in terms of automating the process, debottlenecking some of the areas as far as brakes too. But if you see, majority of investment is on axles only. And it's a very complementary product both. We consciously
how
see
much that. How would it be?
No, we don't give a split, but you can say I tell you about major investments in the whatever the capex which Nagaraj indicated earlier in the call. We have assistance, and also we have board has approved 70 plus crores to invest overall basis. Majority, I'll say that would be in the axles business, axles lines, manufacturing lines. That requires a more automation and all this. Our focus at this moment of time is on that. Definitely, we have investment quality improvement systems, productivity improvements in brakes lines also to make sure that we sustain the capacity. What 100,000 plus to cater to the market improves in the future. So as I said, we don't exactly give. I don't have the split to tell you how much it is. But nevertheless, I'll say that the majority is on axles.
Okay. So in terms of ROC, what is the delta between from axles and brakes business?
No, that's more internal. Sorry, not able to share. But overall basis, you really see that our ROC is at around 21%. As the volume grows, we can able to overall, the ROC can improve much beyond 24 or 25. So we are just waiting for the volumes. But as I said, the axle has more engineering content and mm-hmm. the value addition is compared to the brakes. Obviously, the margin goes with the same flow. So we see it as overall business together and see that to be sustained in the market, both are a very complementing product to the customer. So that's how we look at the business here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one last question. Overall, what is your expectation of the MHCV industry growth or degrowth in FY25 and FY26? And when do you expect the recovery?
Kishan, can you take it?
Yeah. So there are mixed reaction to this. Some people believe this is not a degrowth. This is probably a shift in the overall market dynamics, more closer to the Western world. So the idea here is there is a very clear trend that the engine HPs are moving, the horsepower of the engine vehicle is moving from the lower 200s and the mid 250 range. Now we are seeing 300, 350, and with higher power engine, the goods carrying capacity, the tonnage is also increasing. So I think the good comparison everybody can do is the 2018 volume of 476,000, which was about 8.6 billion metric ton, is now catered with 390, 380 market, which means the overall tonnage is now stabilized. We know where we are. Now in the next 2 to 3 years, what is expected is with all the growth corridors and the the natural economy that is growing, the GDP, along with that, we can expect around 15 to 20% growth in the next 3 to 4 years. And for that, again, what will play a major role is how these high-power engines and the segments will have the mix in the overall volume. So that's how we are also thinking. That's how our entire thought process in terms of product launch is also aligned with that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take this as the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shailesh Raja for closing comments.
Thank you all for attending the session. Maharaja sir, would you like to make any closing comments?
Yeah, once again, thank you very much for calling into this, investor call. Really appreciate. I do understand that, there were some questions we could not probably answer to your satisfaction, especially related to this acquisition announced by BFL. But as we mentioned that with whatever the information we have, we cannot make any speculation or make any premature comments on that. So we'll wait how it turns out because this transaction is not over yet. On the other hand, from the performance perspective, like we mentioned, we are committed. We are always growing, better than the market. And then we have always been very prudent in when it comes to operational cost, especially the last last few quarters. Earlier we used to invest heavily on the product development. Now we are also started investing and upgrading our operations and then manufacturing capabilities. So with that, we are very sure and very confident the entire management, to meet the growing challenges and demand from the OEs, shift in the product lines, and also maximize the opportunities that is available in both aftermarket and, exports. So with that, again, I would like to thank Ranga and Kishan and also B&K, Shailesh. Thank you very much and have a great evening.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.